Very few people preaching the Word of God clearly today. I was listening to a preacher the other night on the radio, or actually it was the other night on the television set. Every now and then I just have to go see what the state of affairs are. The nicest thing about the Christian TV channel sometimes is I get to look inside a window and see what's going on out there in other places. And I sat there aching and waiting for something to be said that had anything to do with God's Word. I mean, this guy was walking all over the place and he was talking and he had nothing to say. And everybody was right with him. Beloved, listen, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And this morning, as we look into the things before us, this is going to happen. And I don't care what the world says. Everything is coming to a culmination right now. We're seeing it. We can read our newspapers with our eyes in our head and say, wow, it's coming down to it. And it's supposed to move us. And if the Holy Spirit of God is in our hearts, He bears witness every time the Word comes, and it is coming with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You got to just sit back and say, Abba, Father, sometimes. The Bible says that the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you ever just say, Father, Dad? Because that's what God does. He puts a hunger for Himself, and we rejoice in His Word. And the Bible says that these 144,000 are the ones that are sealed. It's not everybody. It's the 144,000. And I'll talk about a little bit more about those people who are not necessarily sealed in the same way we are in a minute. But in verse 4, he tells us that they are sealed out of all the tribes of the children of Israel. There are many people today in cults that say they're part of the 144,000. They've got their own little 144,000 superstars, you know. And their belief is that if they are here when the Lord Jesus comes back, that they get to go in to the millennial kingdom. If they die before He comes back, it's just all over. That would be the Jehovah's Witness. The Seventh-day Adventists believe it too. They figure the Lord's going to come at a certain time when they're all there on their Sabbath day worship service, and they're going to be part of the chosen 144,000. But there is no debate here. The Bible says it's of the children of Israel. It's not Gentile people. In fact, he goes through as if he knows that we're kind of twisted enough just to miss the point. So he says there's 12,000 from every tribe. And he names and enumerates those tribes one after the other with a few unique twists that you wouldn't necessarily expect. He says in verse 5, he says, of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, sealed 12,000. Now, I'm not going to read them all because they're all there, but unique exceptions. Dan is not mentioned. Dan is not mentioned. Ephraim is not mentioned. He is put in there, not as himself, but it's called the tribe of Joseph. When we get to the reality of Ephraim. And what we also see is usually when they enumerate the tribes, when they talk about inheritances, Levi is not usually mentioned, but he's here. He's put in. And the belief of many who have read this and studied this is because Dan, it is believed because of a prophecy set over him way back in Genesis, last couple chapters where Jacob brought them all in and he blessed them. He began to talk about Dan as having to have something to do with the serpent chasing after some things. And some believe he might be the tribe out of which the Antichrist comes. We don't know. We'll find out later. But some believe that. But he also was involved in a great deal of the idolatry that was brought into Israel. Ephraim as well, one of the first ones. If you recall, it was in Ephraim where they erected the golden calf when the split of the kingdoms came between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. The northern kingdom erected two golden calves and says, you worship here. Now all I'm saying is this. When you look at this, you begin to see that God's justice is right on task. If these two tribes are put on the bench, if you will, because of their leading Israel into sin, think not that you can live any old way you want. You get to reign with Christ in the millennium. The Bible says He has made us kings and priests unto our God, and if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. And for many of us, we're not willing to suffer. We bail, we say, well, whatever, and we cruise. And frankly, we get into 2 Peter chapter 1 mentality where we're not fruitful and we are barren and we do forget and wonder if we're even saved because we've never put anything into our faith. And yes, there are going to be people who end up in heaven one day surprised that they got there. And there are going to be people who go to hell one day surprised that they didn't get to go into heaven. What I'm saying is this, God's salvation is absolute and complete. But if you don't contribute and work your salvation, what work out what God has worked in and cooperate with it, you might find yourself on the bench for the millennium. I say that on the basis of Timothy, where it says, if you will suffer with him, you will reign with him. But many will not suffer with him. And those people will have no assurance, no security, and they'll feel like forgetting. The Bible says blind, even unto dark, even unto blindness, short-sighted, even unto blindness, forgetting that they were washed from their sins. And they will be people who will have no security. And this morning, as we look at this passage and we see these different tribes, what I want us to notice is that God has put some people on the bench that if you go and you read in Isaiah, you will find in the millennium, Dan is back. He gets to come, and he gets to come back in the millennium. But what we have before us is 144,000 Jews who are called servants of God. We get more about them in chapter 14, which we'll look at in depth later. But what we find is that these are the 144,000 that we believe to be Jewish evangelists who are going to go into all of the world and preach the gospel. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24 of the gospel being preached. It's in your bulletin. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached for a in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We put that in there because Matthew 24 directly correlates to what we have with before us in Revelation. And so what we see is God's going to set aside some sealed evangelists no one can touch. They're going to be kind of salting the earth, telling people who have been left behind, they're going to be converted Jews. Now, this is significant because the tribulation is all about the Jews. Daniel, 70 weeks a year, 69 weeks. After that, Messiah would be cut off. One more week of years, seven more years, tribulation, Israel's history. 144,000 missionaries go into the world and preach. We find that there are virgins, they are males, they are not defiled with men or with women or with the worldly stuff. They are lit up for God and they're preaching the gospel. And they're winning tons of people. Why? Because God chose Abraham out of the midst of all of the nations, made a nation out of him, and they never really got the program down. They never really did what God wanted them to do. And that was that they might, in fact, become a witness, testimony, and light to all the other nations. Guess what? Anything God ever determines comes true. God never fails. And He's going to bring Israel back, and it's going to be as dark can be. And He's going to light up about 144,000 Jewish evangelists who have no ties to family and hearth and home. And they're going to be out there in the background winning people to Christ while the Antichrist is chasing them down and killing them with breakneck speed. Now, you know what's very interesting about the number 144,000 is that after World War II, there were about, at the peak of all missionary endeavor, we are told that there was just barely about 70,000 missionaries in the world. That was at the peak. God's going to light up about 144,000. And they're going to be all like Apostle Paul's running around. They're going to be so lit up, they don't care if they stone them with stones and they have to walk back into the city. They don't care if they have to be shipwrecked. They don't care if somebody's going to deprive them. They know where they're going to know how to be abounding and how to be abased. They're going to know in whatsoever case they find themselves in to be content. These are guys who will be undauntable. They're going to say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Folks, would to God some of us would get up and said, send me, like Isaiah did, like Paul did. These guys are going to be that. And there's going to be swords flashing everywhere, and they're going to just walk through it. And in chapter 14, not one of them will be lost. And when you hear in the book of Matthew, in chapter 25, where he separates the goats from the sheep, and he says, I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. And all of those things, that is talking about those people in the tribulation who took care of these Jewish evangelists as well as other brothers, but they were people who ministered one to another through some of the darkest times in history. The Bible tells us that these Jewish evangelists, as it were, are 12,000 in each tribe, and though all the records of genealogies are gone, God knows who's who. He knows who's who. He knows who's from each tribe. He's going to pull out 12,000 from each, and He's going to send them into the world to do a soul-winning crusade, if you will. Verse 9 says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now what you have to understand is that this says all nations. Verse 9, I saw a great multitude. Now, if you read your Bible from cover to cover, you're going to find something very interesting keeps showing up. It's a little word, the word remnant. God always has a remnant. Elijah got so discouraged at one point, he says, I only have not, caved in and worshipped Baal. I'm all by myself. And God says, listen, I got 7,000 who have not yet bowed their knee to Baal. Now, Elijah admittedly was the only one out there saying anything, but these other guys, though they were hiding, they had not bowed to Baal. Always God gets things down to a remnant. Now, I just want you to ask yourself a question. Are you part of the remnant this morning? You see, we like to be a part of what's big and huge and going on, but I'll tell you something. The Bible says in Laodicea that there's going to be a whole lot of darkness, blindness, and poverty when they think they're rich and lit up and know what's going on. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, even so, when the Son of Man comes, will He even find faith on the earth? And the word faith is literally got an article. He will even find the faith on the earth. Folks, listen. Don't let somebody else tell you you're okay. You chase God. You go after Him and you don't be deterred. You don't be shut down. You be like blind Bartimaeus saying, listen, Lord, Lord, give me my sight. Lord, over here. And everybody's saying, hush. You don't hush. You go after God. It's on you. And you will stand before God alone. It will not be you and your wife. It will not be you and your husband. It will not be you and your mom and dad. God will put the spotlight of heaven right on your face and He will say to you, what have you done with my son? It will be personal, it will be private, it will be yours, and your answer is the only one that will matter. You cannot vouch for somebody, and no one will vouch for you. This passage says in this condition there's going to be a multitude, and the reason I brought up the remnant is because this is one of the few things begin to turn. Because during the tribulation, there's going to have been a rapture, there's going to be anarchy, and a lot of people are going to get manifest evidences that God is, and He's on the move, and things are heating up, and they better get right with God. If you've had that truth brought to your heart, you said, no, 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 I will not come. Don't fool yourself into thinking you're going to come later. I don't think this is for you. There are tons of people in this world who have no clue about the coming of Jesus Christ. They've got a big dose of churchianity, but they don't know Christ. And no one's ever taught them. And they're going to wake up and they're going to realize all I've ever heard has been lies in the name of religion. And even in the name of God and church. They've taken this book and they've set it aside. They've corrupted it, polluted it, and changed it, and rearranged it. But beloved, it has not changed. The Bible says He has exalted His Word above His own name. So when you take that Bible and you take it and you put it somewhere, you put it down with a little bit of care. Teach yourself that. Just remind yourself. It's no big thing. But just think in your mind, this is God speaking. And when He speaks, He tells me great and wonderful things. And the Bible says we've been given exceeding great and precious promises. And that we've been made partakers of the divine nature. That we are, as I said a minute ago, sealed with the Holy Spirit who is the earnest. Man, we're in! But nobody can tell you that. You've got to read it. You've got to own it. You know, when you read a book, you start quoting it back like it was your own opinion many times. That's why we try to get you to read The Bondage Breaker. It'll help you internalize the truth. You just see a video series or hear a preacher say it. It's all good, but when you read it, it sort of kind of gets in the crevices of your heart. God wants you to spend time with His Word. He wants to talk to you by His Spirit. And the Bible says in this passage that a multitude, which is unique because things are going to be amazing in this time, a multitude of people from all nations. Now that word all nations, very important. It didn't say all nations except Israel. No, these 144,000 evangelists are not the only ones who get saved in Israel. They're the sealed ones of Israel. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be martyred as Jews during the tribulation. They're going to see Him who they pierced. They're going to mourn as for one who's lost their own son. They're going to agonize over the fact that they put Him to death when they see it for what it is. And the Bible tells us in this passage that all nations, they're from all nations, kindreds, peoples, tongues, and they stood. Look at that, stood. The Bible says that the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment in Psalm 1. These guys are going to be standing. And the Bible says not only that, but they're going to be clothed with white robes and palms. Part of their robes, part of their attire that they will be given is white robes and palms. The real Palm Sunday is here. They all said Hosanna when Jesus rode in on that donkey in Jerusalem. And he's in the middle of that crowd just crying out, weeping. I mean, wailing, weeping. It was amazing. If we could have seen it with CNN's zoom lens, we would have seen Jesus just bawling for these people. It had to be just so confusing to the people. They're saying, Hosanna, he's the king. And he's crying. And what's he saying? If you zoom in a little closer, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen to gather her chicks, but you would not. If you'd only known this your day. But now your world, your country, your city is going to be left to you desolate. Not one stone will be left upon another. In 70 AD, that whole world was turned upside down. Beloved, what I'm saying is Jesus came and that was called Palm Sunday, but the real Palm Sunday is right here. These guys are given robes and they're given palms. And palms are a symbol of victory. They're a symbol of what was true, the wave. There's peace now. You know, when you ever see palm trees, it's like waving in the wind. Peace is indicated. They used them as tabernacle branches when they were coming out in the Exodus, when they came out of Egyptian bondage. They would use palm leaves as part of their house when they made little tents and tabernacled out in underneath the stars. Beloved, these guys have palms. They're given palms because what God is trying to tell you and me is that they have peace. They have won the victory. They have been completely, utterly, totally, decisively delivered. It's an awesome thing. And it's a multitude. It's going to be one of the greatest soul-winning campaigns the world has ever known. If you can think in your minds as adults right now about 7 years ago, think 7 years. Think 3.5 years ago. Wasn't that long ago. Linda and I were talking about something that happened in late 2007. It seemed like 3 or 4 months ago. And the older you get, the quicker it goes. And boy, the years, the months, the days, the weeks, they just mount up. It's like zoom, quick. Folks, this whole thing is going to unfold in 7 years. They're going to remember it like you remember 9/11. Think about that. Gives you a little hanger for your heart. Remember 9/11? Where were you that day that the world stopped turning, right? You know where you were. You know what you were thinking. Beloved, what he's saying is he's saying a multitude are going to get saved in this time. Multitude. And the Bible says they're going to cry, in verse 10, with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God. Literally, you could add the word belongs, and you can add it twice. We'll show you the other place in a minute. But they're saying, salvation belongs to our God. Now, I want you to understand something. If there's something you and I ought to be saying, we ought to be telling people, salvation belongs to our God. But we don't take it as seriously as these people will. Unfortunate, but true. The Bible says, he that is forgiven much loves much. Remember that? And that's what's happening.